This is the Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Brad Nortman, outfitted by Iron Fitted by Jock.
This is the Jump Around 3.0. I am Jim Rutledge. He is Brad Nortman. I am live from the Everlight Solar Studio. Brad is in Milwaukee in the Gruber One Call That's All Studios. And this is the Jump Around 3.0, outfitted by Iron Jock. Use the promo code ESPN30 for 30% off all purchases over $50 at ironjock.com. Brad, another loss for the Wisconsin Badgers. This one feels a little different. They lose 38-21. They blow a 21-10 halftime lead. My initial thoughts on this game were, hey, you know what? Between Alabama and USC, the Badgers, if they had played one full game, they would have won one of those. And I love that coming out of the first half, the team looks ready to play and looks like a team that is primed and paying attention to their coach and is engaged in coaching, is a team that is bought in. And then both of these games, I guess a little bit before halftime against Alabama and then after halftime against USC, I see this Badger team as someone that runs out of gas, maybe runs out of creativity coaching-wise. And there's a lot to overcome. And I don't want to be too negative, but we can look at a lot of different things, but there's a lot we're asking of this team to beat Alabama and USC with Braden Locke as their quarterback.
Yeah, for the Wisconsin Badgers to beat Alabama and USC, it's a tall task. I mean, for any team, really. I mean, those are likely, I mean, for sure Bama and likely USC to be college football playoff teams. So that's a lot for a program in transition. You'd love to see one, and you still got Penn State, and you still got Oregon, so you'd love to get that signature win somewhere along the way. But it's interesting, right? Because this team, all of last season, and even the first two games of the season, felt like they were characterized by slow starts, right? Where they got they didn't come out of the gate with a scheme that was really encouraging, not a lot of energy, not a lot of juice, and they found themselves either being in the midst of a dogfight that they shouldn't be in, or they felt themselves trying to come back late. Against Bama and USC, strong starts. Even with Tyler Van Dyke going down against Bama, they maintained a close game throughout most of the second or most of the first quarter and second quarter, but then obviously things opened up before halftime. And USC, you looked at it and said, wow, this might be the opportunity to get that signature win. So it's still kind of that part of that trying to find the identity, right? Where you used to deal with slow starts, finding ways to win. Now you're off to better starts against good teams, but you're losing the games in the second half. So I think it's part of the process, the maturing process, and the formation of this new look Wisconsin Badgers. And I didn't go into either game expecting a win. I thought that they played better against USC than I anticipated, particularly that first half. And I know USC gave them some gifts as far as short fields and turnovers, but you gotta still take advantage of those. So I walked away not feeling apathy like I did so many other times, where you just feel a little bit lost and a little bit confused and frustrated. I felt like I had a little bit of optimism and a little bit like, wow, I saw a glimpse, even for just one half, I saw a glimpse of what this team wants to be. Physical, fast on defense. They did that in the first half. And an offense that was, you know, taking shots downfield while also controlling the intermediate and the short-term run game. So I saw it for a minute, just didn't see it long enough. And I hope that they can keep that going against a big week this week against Purdue. And you heard me right, big week against Purdue.
It is, because it can change how you feel about this team. Because if they beat Purdue, especially if they play well against Purdue, this team is exactly where I think most people would have predicted them to be. And they, again, the final score isn't indicative of it, but they put up at least a fight for a half against both Alabama and USC. And maybe the Badgers are farther away from that than we want them to be, but if they can come out and beat Purdue, and realistically, this three-game stretch is key, they go 3-0 in the stretch, which it is not impossible. They are a team. I'll put it like this. If they play against Purdue, Rutgers, and Northwestern the same way that they played the half against USC to start that game, they're going 3-0. And if they do, now they're a 5-win team, only needing one more victory to be bowl eligible. We've kind of redefined that as their new goal for the season. And realistically, Brad, if they go out and let's say they lose to Penn State and Oregon, and if they split versus Iowa and Nebraska and then beat Minnesota, if they have these three wins in a row and they finish the year with seven wins again, you're actually going to feel decent about it because, and I think I've shared this stat on the show, but I believe Luke Fickell is, was it 8-2 or something like that with his starting quarterbacks as his quarterback, but then he's 1-6 with Braden Locke, something along those lines. If Braden Locke plays in a game, the Badgers have won one time. And if Tanner Mordecai or Tyler Van Dyke play, they win more often, which brings me to a point before we get to Purdue, Brad. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of questions and a lot of consternation about the Badgers' offense, this air raid offense. And it's a little bit like, you know, like cavemen discovering fire for the first time, that everyone's kind of scared of it. Like, oh my God, what is this? This never can work here. And everyone's like, ooh, we run football. And everyone's freaking out. And I'm not saying that's not the, I'm not even saying the air raid's right. Maybe it's a modified air raid. But I think I do this every week. We go back to what Joe Thomas said to us, that the air raid offense is fully dependent on having a quarterback capable of running it. And when they have Tanner Mordecai and Tyler Van Dyke, this offense is enough to win. And when you're so disjointed and never having quarterbacks for, I feel like, more than four games at a time, how can you really judge this offense and what Phil Longo's trying to do? Because the quarterback injuries have been so hamstrung, or they're hamstringing this offense so much, because I like the offensive line this year. I think they can run the ball more, but I think the running game is working better this year. So evaluating this team without a quarterback, when this offense, the most important person in most offenses, is the quarterback, it makes it a lot harder. I'm not giving Phil Longo a pass. What I'm saying is that Luke Fickell's job is exponentially harder because he can't fully judge what this offense could be like with Phil Longo as the offensive coordinator in this air raid at Wisconsin, because he's got Braden Locke running it instead of the guys that were handpicked to do it, and Tanner Mordecai and Tyler Van Dyke, and maybe in the future, maybe Metoyer, who was recruited to run this offense. Braden Locke was recruited in, but he's not super quick, and he doesn't have a super powerful arm, both things that are usually required to be very successful in this offense.
Well, and the quarterback injuries of quarterback one, at least, came at incredibly inopportune times, both last season and this season, because I don't care how quarterback friendly you make an offense, you still got to get in rhythm with your running backs, with your offensive line, with your wide receivers. You got to get the quarterback comfortable. You got to create offensive rhythm. And with Mordecai getting injured, I believe that was what, maybe the fourth game into the season, right? And now with Tyler Van Dyke playing two games and then getting injured in the third. And then even last year, you played Braden Locke for a little bit, and then Mordecai came back. So,
and they looked good then. Like, obviously, one was a little bit excited when Mordecai came back.
There was. He provided some juice, and he was a gamer. And it just, it leaves you feeling like you want to evaluate this air raid offense, right? Because at some point, recruiting is going to reflect the personnel that this offense requires, right? So you'd like to have a good sample size for, is this a reliable and successful future and scheme for the Wisconsin Badgers? And right now it feels like an incomplete grade because, one, you don't have the quarterbacks to run it at a high level. I think that Tyler Van Dyke and Mordecai, those were like solid, right? Good, somewhere between average to good, certainly not great to really uncap the offense like what Longo had with like Drake May, for instance, in North Carolina. So there were good versions of the air raid offense. But when you have a quarterback that is underwhelming, like Braden Locke seems to be, or at least there's a very real ceiling on his ability to run this offense, it feels like it's an incomplete grade. And even if Mordecai would have gotten injured after seven games last year, or Tyler Van Dyke would have got injured halfway through the season, at least you have a sample size of what this offense looks like when it's up and running, when it's rolling, when it's finally starting to hit some rhythm against good teams. So I think that's where I'm frustrated about it, is after all these years, even with an air raid, quarterback-centric offense like the Badgers have now, still haven't been able to figure out the quarterback position. And when it feels like maybe we got a guy that can run it, he's good, not great, they get injured both years in a row. So to me, it still feels like the jury's out on whether this offense can work at Wisconsin. I think that's what you're alluding to, Jim, when you say, and I'm an alum, right? I've been a Badger fan for life, and I was a part of those, you know, great teams that had elite running backs like James White. We're going to have him on a little bit later in the show. And there is something discomforting when you change the Badgers so radically. And I can understand that. And I want the Badgers to compete on a national level more than anything. And if that requires some changes to the DNA of the Wisconsin Badgers, I'm okay with it. It's just hard when you experience change plus the lack of success corresponding with that change. I think that's a harder sell for everybody. And I think that that is something that Wisconsin Badger fans are going to have to accept. Like, if you are going to lean into this fully and trust Luke Fickell's plan, and maybe Coach Longo's system isn't the right one for the Badgers. Maybe it's a more diet-diluted version of that. But there is going to be change. There is going to be some alteration of what the Badger football offense looked like. And it's going to take a little bit of discomfort. It might take a minute before you start to see it on the field, too.
This is The Jump Around. We are brought to you in part by Simden Chevy in Mount Horeb. You're only minutes away from a better buying experience at Simden Chevy in Mount Horeb. What is a better buying experience? And it's an experience that is customized to you. So if you want them to be your trusted expert, they can be that. If they want them to just be your friend and hype up your purchase, they can do that for you as well at Simden Chevy in Mount Horeb. The much maligned Joel Stave, who won a lot of games at Wisconsin, for his career was 60%. As far as completing his passes. Much loved and underappreciated Scott Tolzien's worst year as a full-time starter was 65%. His best year was 73%. And Braden Locke for his career is at 50%. And I don't even care if you're playing Wisconsin high school football, which is not known for throwing the ball around. 50% ain't it. And that is a major part of it, especially in the air raid, Brad, that this is an offense that's a lot of short passes. A lot of passes of almost using the short pass game as the run game. So, to your point, Braden Locke, and I guess mine as well, Braden Locke does hinder some of the judgments for this team. That being said, and then we can transition here and you can throw your thoughts on him, Braden, but Purdue allows the opportunity for this offense to get right, figure out how can we come out here and function against a team that we should be physically better than, so we shouldn't be exhausted by the end, we shouldn't feel worn out, we shouldn't feel like we're having to pull every trick out of the bag if you're the coaching staff. This should be a straightforward football game. We have the better players. If we go out there, don't turn it over and execute, we should win this game by 14 to 17 to 20 points. And I think this is an opportunity to build some confidence to get Braden Locke his second career win as a starter.
And you need to get that confidence going, because especially when he came in against Alabama and at times against USC, you can tell the confidence isn't there. A lot of, you know, fearless throws, a lot of really successful reading of the defense and orchestrating the offense. It isn't there consistently. So when I think of what this offense could be, especially when you compare it against, you know, the Badgers are going to face against Purdue will be complete dichotomy compared to what they face against Alabama and USC. Against those teams, noticeable talent gap at every level, particularly wide receiver and quarterback, right? USC and Bama had wide receivers and a quarterback that you look like and say, these are dudes. Like, this is what you need to be a college football playoff team. The Badgers clearly aren't there yet. But now as you turn your gaze from backward to forward and say, okay, now we play the Purdue Boilermakers, and they're the worst team in the Big Ten. I mean, they really are. Through this many, four games of the season, they are the worst team in the Big Ten. And just as even when we started this season, Jim, there's a certain level of, you know, you're trying to find the new hierarchy, right? It's a new Big Ten. It's new teams. The transfer portal changes things so much. Even the Wisconsin Badgers look new. They look different. There's a constant shuffling of the hierarchy. Where are the Badgers? Are they tier two, tier three? Are they middle, bottom of the Big Ten? They're about to face, kicking off with Purdue, teams that are historically in the middle to bottom of the Big Ten. That's why these next three games are critical, because I can understand the Badgers not being able to beat USC on the road or Penn State and Oregon and Bam. I can understand that, right? Those are special years when Wisconsin knocks a team like that off and finds themselves in the top 15. But consistently, Wisconsin has beaten the teams they should beat. And this Purdue team is a team they should beat, and not beat by 3 points on a last-minute field goal. It should be a double-digit victory and a real chance for this team to do one of the boxes I want to see them check before the season is up, and that's just a full game. Give me a full game, wire-to-wire, offense, defense, special teams, of looking like a good team, looking like a quality team. I want Luke Fickell to go to a post-game conference and say, that's it. Like, this is what my vision is for the Wisconsin Badger football team, and we just witnessed it for 60 minutes. Then I can say, I can see what the future looks like. I can see what Coach Fickell's trying to build. Until then, we're just sort of grasping at straws to try to convince ourselves that he either is or isn't the right solution for the Green Bay Packers, for the Wisconsin Badgers. Sorry, KBN is starting to leak into my brain. For the Wisconsin Badgers. So, and I think this is a great opportunity to do it. So regain confidence, hit an important stretch of three games that you described. That boy, oh boy, Jim, if this season unfolded, like you said, you go 3-0, which is very possible, against Purdue, Rutgers, Northwestern. You lose the games, you probably will, against top opponents, but then even you split against Nebraska, Minnesota, you're talking about a team that looks like they took a step forward. And that's all you want to see at this point. Seeing steps forward, getting 7 wins or so with this kind of schedule, that'd be a success for me for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Without a doubt, and there are winnable games on this schedule. And the other part of it is, Brad, is I want to see more opportunities for the younger players. I know there's some talk about the running backs that they're going to do instead of, everyone's going to have a specialized role instead of going by feel and doing a lot of different things. So I want to see, we always talk about the quarterback, but can we see a little bit more of Dupree? Can we see more of Dupree out there? Because he was someone, Darian Dupree, who came out and made some plays against USC. Can we see more of Tank Curtis at linebacker? Can we see more of these players get opportunities, see some of the young guys at different positions? And, you know, Vinny Anthony flashed a little bit, but Tretch Kekahuna is another player that I'd love to see. He flashed in the bowl game. And so I'm not saying in this game specifically, Brad, but it's one that as it goes along, I want to see more opportunities for these young players, because here's the other part of it. College football is always flipping over. Well, you know what? Both these running backs in Ches Malusi and Walker are gone. And, you know, and I think Green will be gone for this year at the wide receiver position. I believe Williams has got another year. So not saying you feed the young guys over the old guys just to give them, you know, the opportunities, but you still want to have excitement for the players who will likely be back, and hope for the players will likely be back, and see this 7-win season as a season to build on. And then Metoyer is someone we can worry about in the future. Before we get to James White, and he was kind of, I don't know if he's necessarily fully a part of this, but there's a lot of noise on social media. And Brad, I'm not sure where you fall on this. So pull back curtain a little bit. We had a content call, I think, yesterday about, is the internet real? And how much is that a real sentiment for what most fans feel as opposed to what people with a platform feel? But regardless, the players who were tweeting this, whether it's Braylon Allen or others, who Braylon Allen said, I'm going to hold my tongue for now, but y'all going to see me on a podcast one day explaining exactly what was going on my last season there, which I don't understand that tweet specifically, because Braylon didn't play a lot. And last year, there may have been something going on for a minute, but it was solved by Hunter Wohler, I would say, was the most vocal person, and a few other Badgers as far as solving if there were leadership problems there. And then this year, this team looks like a team that's not playing complete football. It does not look like a team that is in chaos or disarray, which is what is implied in that from Braylon. And maybe I'm just reading it wrong, but, and that's just one example. And James White, and who's going to be joining us, invited Braylon to join the show. But I am surprised at the tone of that specific tweet. Like Frank Kaminsky or Jake Ferguson or others saying, hey, run the power eye after you get stopped on fourth down. Heck, Barry Alvarez texted into the broadcast because he was upset on running out of shotgun in fourth and one. And that's more understandable. But a player on the outside, and I'm not saying fully on the outside, but I guess I'm curious to see what Braylon is hinting at, because this year it does not seem like there's a locker room problem. It is a execution of the plays and maybe offensive style problem. But Brad, I'm not sure what your thoughts are fully.
Yeah, you know, with Braylon sending off that tweet, you know, he sent it off during Wisconsin College Game Day post-game show, so I had an opportunity to react to it live. And my feeling is the same feeling of it now. One, I hate the lack of specificity. I hate the crypticness of it. Mm-hmm. If you have something to say, just say it. Yeah. And that would, because right now there's a vacuum, right? And we're trying to fill that gap. And we're trying to come up with things of...
We're guessing, yeah.
We're guessing. Like, what could it be that he's talking about? Because to me, weird timing coming on the heels of two losses. So he's clearly trying to make a statement at something. The only thing that I could think of that you'd be holding on to for that long that you would send out like that is maybe just, I don't know, some sort of like lack of authenticity, lack of leadership, something that's more wide ranging than granular.
Yes.
As far as play calling. Like I can understand fourth and one shotgun, I don't like the call. I can understand dissecting the game and having questions as fans. But when you start to question like the meta narrative of the Wisconsin Badgers and Luke Fickell's system, and you don't provide specifics, we're not knowing that. Because we really don't know Luke Fickell well. I don't. He says all the right things at the podium. Seems like a real stand-up guy. Does well in front of boosters and recruiting. But I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I really don't know his coaching style. I hear nothing but good things. But so when you throw that grenade in there and walk away, it leaves us trying to pick up the pieces. And look, I'm okay with alumni using their platform to speak their mind. Okay. I mean, nobody has poured in the blood, sweat, and tears that guys that have worn the Motion W on their helmet have. And if you're frustrated, I'm okay with that because you're passionate about it. It's just there comes to be a certain point of where I just wonder, are you trying to be destructive or are you trying to be thoughtfully critical, right? And it's a very fine line. And it felt like Braylon was trying to be destructive as opposed to thoughtfully critical. So that's my only thing where I'm like, if you got something, say it.
Yes.
So it's not like it's not on you and me to try to figure out what he's saying to a tweet that got 4 million views.
Yep.
And if you want to be thoughtfully critical, I'm okay with that. But you should want to see the program do well. And so you should try to avoid destruction at all costs.
I like what you said there about hopefully there's more clarity sooner on it, because you're right. Now we are guessing at it as opposed to, and it's one thing you don't have to provide clarity if you're like, hey, stop running out of shotgun in fourth and one. That's very clear.
Yeah, crystal clear.
Right. And so I think that's my biggest feedback on the Braylon one is that we need a follow-up because it does otherwise paint, is there something really crazy going on and is this program in disarray? I do, before we get to James White, and I'm excited to talk with him about this program. And I've seen, you know, talked a little bit with Melvin Gordon about, you know, everyone wants the ball run more. Everyone wants to be back to running back you, and everyone wants this program to be successful, including Braylon and including James White. But before we get to James White, I do want to hear what Coach Fickell had to say about the outside criticism, because I think he handled it as best as he possibly can.
I don't pay attention to a lot of things. Unfortunately, when you have children now that are of the age, they tend to, you know, if there is something out there, they let you know. Which I got to do a better job at making sure they understand, like, yeah, I don't want to hear those things. But it's a part of the game, right? I mean, it's all things that we have to be able to deal with. It doesn't bother me. I only worry that if it bothers our guys within our program and our team. But if people didn't have passion for what it is that we're doing, we wouldn't have sold out crowds. We wouldn't have an environment that, you know, that we create here and a competitive advantage when guys come into our home because of the passion that, whether it's the fans or former players have. I mean, that's what makes programs great.
And Brad, you know what? Why don't we'll take a break here and we can let James White react to it as well. Because I thought it was something that was understanding that, like, hey, I'm the coach of Wisconsin, and I'm not the Wisconsin guy, and maybe not even the guy that some of these players had picked, so I'm going to get this criticism until we win. He put on his big boy pants and took the criticism. But let's before we get to James White, let's hear from Iron Jock.
What's up, Wisconsin? It's Ches Malusi here. I'm back. I'm ready to finish what I came here to do. They think they're going to stop me this Saturday? Not a chance. I'm Iron Jock ready. Iron Jock is what's inside. Not winning conference stinks. Not making the playoffs stinks. Not being able to finish the season due to injury stinks. Don't stink. Get Iron Jock.
Well, and as we bring in James White, and I'm excited to have James on the show, and I want to get to Fickell's comments, but I was thinking about this, James, and we were talking about Braylon Allen beforehand, an Iron Jock athlete, and then we have Ches Malusi, an Iron Jock athlete, both running backs at Wisconsin. It would have been nice, probably, for you to be a little NIL availability for you and Melvin and everyone else when you were at the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah, that would have been nice, but that's just the way the game goes. Typically, the guys that come after you, they get some nicer things, some more benefits, and that's just how it happens. Glad those guys get to, you know, capitalize on their name, image, likeness. Hopefully they're using it the right way.
Well, you know, and on that, I do kind of, we call it NIL, and in that case it is an NIL situation where they're promoting a specific brand, but it does seem a little bit, James, and I'm curious your thought, because we're all on the same page here that I want the players to get paid. I want them to be able to get money off their name and likeness. I thought they were being taken advantage of in the past. But there probably needs to be some sort of system set up. But right now, this is almost more pay for play than name and likeness, because it is a lot of, like, come here. We saw what was going on at UNLV, and Marcus Cromartie was involved on the outside with that as the agent for the quarterback at UNLV. And I think Marcus was doing the right thing for his client. But it is one of those things where, because there's no rules, there's a little bit of chaos. So I guess, what is your thought in general about, obviously we all agree players can get paid, but how the system is working currently?
For me, I think there needs to be some sort of union or, you know, some sort of structure when it comes to it. All these contracts, these deals, they need to be presented to somebody, and it all needs to be in writing. It shouldn't be any handshake deals. It shouldn't just be word of mouth deals. All these contracts, send them to the union, let them be read over by somebody, and that way everybody knows exactly what, you know, each deal that's signed, how much they're getting paid. And it's not that it has to be public knowledge, but all the colleges should be able to go to that and look to that, so everybody is informed. Right now it's kind of, you know, the wild, wild west, he say, she say, and all that. There needs to be more structure to it.
James, good to see you again, my man. Always a pleasure when we get to talk. Good to see you. So, you know, thinking about the NIL, thinking about recruitment, right? It's the lifeline of college sports, and that includes Wisconsin. So you're a guy that came from South Florida all the way up here to the cold, you know, northern tundra. And I just want to put yourself back in your high school shoes, right? What is it about Wisconsin that made you want to come here? And do you think that those reasons are as convincing in the NIL era when money plays such a big role?
For me, the factors for me, Connor O'Neill, Desmond South were two of my high school teammates, you know, signed to Wisconsin the year before I did. So that sparked my interest a little bit. I had no idea about Wisconsin football. I'd seen them on TV, you know, every now and then. Got an offer from there. Knew Connor and Des went there. Took a visit. Got a feel for it. You know, initially on my first visit, it was during the off season or something. There wasn't much going on. So I was still kind of and then when I visited on my official visit and getting that college-like atmosphere, getting around the people, everybody's friendly, football town, you know, the kids are tailgating, academics are great. I think all those things do play a factor, but it's just when it comes to money for a lot of these kids, that's the most important thing. When you have some kids that, you know, come from nothing or family doesn't have much, they're probably going to lean towards the money versus tradition and atmosphere and all of that. And I can't fault those kids for that. They're trying to take care of themselves, you know, and their family. So there's a lot of factors that come down to it. If money isn't an issue, then hey, like, Wisconsin has everything you need if you're trying to set yourself up for playing the NFL, you know, life after football, great alumni and everything else. I do think that's still important to some kids, just may not be to every single kid.
We're talking with James White, and James, on social, I believe you invited fellow former running back Braylon Allen onto your podcast that you co-host, the Money Down Podcast, which is one of the things you're doing after, you know, in that post-football career. But just in general, what is your read on the program? What is your thoughts on what Coach Fickell said about players on the outside talking about the program? I think most of it, I think even in the broadcast they referenced, and Barry Alvarez confirmed this, that Barry Alvarez texted the lead broadcaster of the game during the game when the Badgers went for it on 4th-and-1 out of the shotgun, and Barry was not happy. So whether it's personal text or tweets, that one play call seemed to draw a lot of it. But what are your thoughts on the program on the outside looking in and players getting frustrated with it and Coach Fickell's respond?
Yeah, I understand the frustration from all of us. We all would love to see our program doing, you know, better than what it has been the last couple seasons. But you got to understand where we're at the same time. They're doing a complete 180 of what we were doing when we were playing. We were 22, 23 personnel, 13 personnel, running the ball 70% of the time. And now they're trying to do air raid, 3-3-5, 4-2-5. It takes time to get guys to fit their system and get that buy-in. And it just looks, you know, very different. And I know a lot of guys are frustrated with the fourth down call. I didn't necessarily have an issue with it. I just wish there was more to that play. I don't mind you getting in the shotgun, but maybe it's a put an RPO on, have the QB opportunity to pull the ball, because everybody crashed on that play. If Braden Locke has the opportunity to pull the ball, run it, and there's maybe a RPO on the play rather than, you know, just sitting here thinking we're going to play bully ball. That's not, you know, really our identity right now. I know we've had some success running the ball against USC, but I think we're still trying to figure out, you know, our strengths offensively. So, like I said, I understand everybody who's, you know, being tough on the program, just because, you know, we had so much success, you know, when we were there and as a team, and we all want that to continue and to be very rampant. And like I said, I'm critical of it. All of us as players were critical of it. But I think we just have to give it a little bit of time.
Do you think that Wisconsin can have long-term success in the air raid offense?
I believe they can. You just have to find the right personnel. And I think, first of all, it starts at quarterback. I mean, we can't do the transfer portal one-year rental thing for every single season. That's not going to work. So, you know, they got a freshman in there. I haven't heard too much about him or what he's done so far. You know, hopefully he can be a guy who's going to be there for 3 to 4 years. And I think that helps. You have some consistency there. Maybe that brings in, you know, some receivers when they know they have a quarterback who's going to be there, who's, you know, a solid talent. I think we'll always get, you know, solid offensive linemen. Wisconsin's a great pipeline for that. I think we'll always get solid running backs. I think running backs will still be intrigued in going there. And look, this is the nature of college football. Most teams aren't running, you know, the power eye and all that stuff. I know Michigan was one of the few teams to do that and go out there and win a national championship, and they have some fairly elite talent there. You can win all different sorts of ways. I know we look, you know, kind of similar to every other school we're going up against now. It just takes an adjustment period.
Talking with James White, and I believe you're in the NIU, I don't know if it's a training room or whatever, and we had Coach Hammock on. Love it. And we had Coach Hammock on after the victory over Notre Dame. And Coach Hammock is a guy that, you know, once a Badger, always a Badger. So it was great to see the success that he's having. And obviously you're around that program some. And what do you kind of see from a guy like Coach Hammock and some of those Badger traits that carry, whether it's in your life, but also in Coach Hammock's life, that they picked up at the University of Wisconsin that you hope is continuing here at Madison, even though you're gone?
Just being tough, smart, you know, dependable. And just guys that work hard, you know, doesn't matter how much talent you have and all that. If you work hard, play together as a team, I think that was our strength when we were there at Wisconsin. We didn't necessarily have all 4 or 5 star recruits. The buy-in was there. The work ethic was there. And I feel like that's what was our advantage on game day. We played to it. We played to our toughness. We played to, you know, not making mistakes and giving ourselves the best opportunity to win football games. So I think those traits still will carry forward. I think it's just all about bringing the right guys into the program. And I think that's what it's all about.
And I just want to jump in front of Brett, because I want to follow up on that one as far as the right guys in the program. And obviously it's hard because it's a totally different era than when you were being recruited. And I know Brad's talked a lot about you want to find these hungry players, and I think you were one of them, even though, you know, I definitely saw you. I was going to FAU when you were down at St. Thomas Aquinas. So, like, I remember talking to Dez about those powerhouse schools down there. And football down in Florida is different. But I think Zach Brown was a running back from that area, too, that came up here. There was a lot of good players from South Florida that made their way up. But nowadays, it is really tough. And I know you touched on as far as the dollars, but keeping players, developing players, it is a completely different era. So my question is, how much, when you're trying to adjust the identity of a program, and we'll have to see if this was the right choice. I hope it was. And I think Coach Fickell, to make this move, is the right guy. He just has to have the time because he's been successful. But changing a program at Cincinnati in that conference is like maybe moving like a big yacht. But moving this program is like moving a giant military, you know, shipping boat. You know, so it is a lot to do. And if it's moved the right way and getting in the right direction, it can get there. But when you talk about how different recruiting is now and how difficult it is to keep players here, which I think is part of the reason why they switched to the air raid to make it a little bit more appealing of an offensive style, how much leeway do you account for trying to change the identity of a program in a completely Wild West recruiting program or system right now?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I've gotten to meet Luke Fickell, you know, quite a few times. I think he is the right guy for the job. I think he has the buy-in. I think he understands, you know, the nature of, you know, athletes these days and, you know, what they need, what you need to cater to. Obviously, he's had success, you know, being an assistant coach at Ohio State, being a head coach at Cincinnati, turning that program over. I think for me, next year will be the biggest year that's really telling. Your year three, starting to get, like, your own recruiting classes in there. Hopefully, I just think the main principle for the program will still just have to be developmental. Like, we can't always just rely on the transfer portal. We do need to get guys from there, but I think the basis of it has to be, you know, getting freshmen, developing the guys. Maybe not always the guys that are playing right away. You know, maybe it takes some guys 2 or 3 years before they get out there, but when they are, they're ready to step on the field. They've learned enough, they've practiced hard enough, and they're prepared for their time to step in as starter. So as much as you can, which is hard to retain players these days, especially if they're talented, you have all these different schools calling and, you know, trying to figure out if they can poach them from you. But as much as you can, try and develop these players, I think that's the most important thing.
James, when I reflect on your career, whether it be our time together as teammates or your time in the NFL, I think of you scoring big touchdowns in big games, in big moments, whether it be beating number one Ohio State here at Camp Randall, or whether it be scoring a game-winning Super Bowl, touchdown in the Super Bowl. It just felt like no moment was too big, and you were always very steady. So what do you attribute that level of steadiness and also being at your best when the best requires it?
Just being ready for the moment, trusting the practice that you put in. And I know something that Coach Hammack stresses here at NIU with all his players is like the practice preparation equals game reality. So if you go out there and execute during practice, then no matter who you're going up against on game day, you should have the ultimate confidence and just feeling like you belong. That's what I always felt like I belong. And I always love that competition aspect when you're playing up against, you know, good opponents. That's when you want to be at your best. And when your team, I know for me too, I just always wanted to be a player that my teammates could rely upon in the most crucial moments or in even the smallest moments, whether it's picking up a blitz, running the football, catching the football. I never wanted to let my team down. So I always carried that weight on my shoulders. And I didn't, you know, really put too much pressure on myself. I just trusted in, you know, the hard work that I put in the offseason during the season would allow me to be ready for those moments.
James, before we let you go here, I'll ask this on a positive note. The moment that sticks out the most to you, and it could be big or small, it could be on the field, off the field, at Madison, that kind of just encompasses your time here and kind of defines what it meant to be a Badger while you're playing for the team. That's a tough one.
Yeah, that's a tough question. I had a lot of great moments there. Pick one. It's hard. I mean, I'll say two of them. My freshman year, obviously beating Ohio State, you know, there being the underdogs. Obviously, we started off the game the right way. Just the complete team football win. David Gilrey started off with a kickoff return. Defense played well. Offense played well. Just a complete team win. That just kind of sparked us. I thought that was a great program victory and allowed us to sustain success throughout my entire time being there. And the other one, I probably say my junior year when we beat Nebraska, we ran all over them in the Big Ten championship. I think that was just a culmination too as well, just because they beat us early on in the year, got another opportunity, playing them in the Big Ten championship. No, I don't think we were necessarily the greatest, you know, football team that year, but we stuck together throughout the entire year, got our rematch, you know, played extremely well that game, executed the game plan. You know, Nebraska made their plays early on in the football game, but we just kept our foot on the gas. You know, Melvin, Monty, myself, offensive line, the defense. That was just an extremely fun victory. And I said, it was just a great team win. I thought that was what Wisconsin football is all about. I said, just that toughness and just executing at a high level.
James, one more quick one before you go. So obviously Wisconsin, man, it's running back you, right? You, so many running backs before and after you have just allowed that nickname to flourish. And it is true. I mean, the countless success collegially in NFL, Wisconsin is running back you. But I also had some rushes, right? I had a 17-yard run against Iowa and an 11-yard run in the Rose Bowl. What do you say? Can I be part of the running backs? Can I be considered part of running back you? Would that be okay with you?
That's okay with me. That, look, being a punter, you know, putting your body on the line in those situations, making sure you get the catch, getting the right run reads, I can put you in there. I do remember those plays vividly, especially the Iowa one. I will say that that game stood out to me as well, too. Going on the road, I remember when we got the ball on our final possession, how loud it was in Iowa. It was rocking there. Heck of a performance by the offensive line, defense, and Monty. Monty stepped in.
Yep.
I know I went down that game. Monty stepped in after not playing for a couple games and made a huge run and had a heck of a game for us. So I said, I just think that just goes to show what Wisconsin football is all about. When your number's call, being ready, being prepared for the moment, no matter who it is.
All right, you heard it there. I'm there running back.
Now, I love it. Now, you can conclude Brad into this, but it got me thinking. And if you don't want to answer, that's fine. But excluding yourself, who do you think is the greatest Badger running back of all time?
That's tough. I'm going to go Melvin Gordon. I'm going to go with my guy. He just has the speed, the power, everything you need. And at the time, after I left, especially his senior year, look, he was heavily relied upon, that entire, season, team stacking box, doing whatever they can to slow him down, but still him ripping off 150-yard games, 200-yard games, couple touchdowns. It was truly impressive to see the growth from him, his freshman year not playing too much, and then all the way to that point where, he was the guy being up for the Heisman and all that and consistently performing. I thought that was impressive. And, look, they made it to the Big Ten Championship, too. So, not like they were just a slouch football team, and a big part of that was because of him.
Look, you're preaching to the choir. Every once in a while, you look back at it. As a sophomore, and I know there was only 62 carries, but 10 yards per carry, James, as a sophomore from Melvin. And then as a bell cow with 206 carries as a sophomore. So as a redshirt freshman, he did that. And as a sophomore, he had 7.8 yards per carry with 12 touchdowns. But you talk about that last year just to put – because I do think he's just forgotten because, he came in, I think, second in the Heisman. He was right there. But 2,587 rushing yards in 2014, 7.5 yards per carry, 29 touchdowns, and oh, by the way, also had nearly 200 yards receiving and ended up having 32 total touchdowns as a guy who was kind of the entire offense there. So I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to fight you on Melvin. Yeah, absolutely. He's underappreciated with how great he was.
He definitely was, man. He had some huge games, all throughout that entire year. My favorite game was honestly his last game against Auburn. Like the way he handled himself in that one against the SEC team when they were talking crap before the game about they don't play anybody this and that, and to rip off that performance. That I always tell him that fourth down run he had, that touchdown. I said that's my favorite run of his entire career. Just a fun one to watch. The growth and development of him.
And now it made me a little bit sad because nowadays, and I think maybe Melvin would play, but nowadays he'd be told not to play, and they wouldn't play in that bowl game.
Yeah,
because it's not a playoff game.
You'll never see that type of performance.
You won't see that. So this is just three old guys reminiscing about the good old days when everyone tried extra hard and they had to run uphill both ways. So James, thank you so much for jumping on the Jump Around.
Thanks, James.
No problem. Appreciate you guys having me.
All right, that is Badger legend James White, Super Bowl legend James White, Super Bowl champion James White on the Jump Around. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back. And we have our own tab on Wisconsin On Demand. Now you can just search the Jump Around, Apple, Spotify, any of those great places. You'll be able to find us easily. And we're excited that now it'll be even easier to find the Jump Around podcast. Obviously, this show is on YouTube as well. It'll be archived there. And we're brought to you by Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. That's where winners go. Winners go to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. This has been the Jump Around 3.0.